Okay, we continue in Makos Zayin Amud Beis. We're having this discussion of putting your foot down on the rung of a ladder and it slips off and kills someone. And we had the question, was it Rav Avo who asked Rabbi Yochanan? Well, either way, it started to freeze again. And there was a brisa brought that would seem to suggest that okay, one second, it's almost... Yes, Rabbi Bo asked from Rabbi Yochanan, if you're going up the ladder, and then as you're putting your foot down, the rung goes flying off, what's the halacha? It's just so hard, this thing is jumping around, making me crazy here. So, so is that considered going up and going down? And Rabbi Yochanan said, no, we already have a brisa that discusses the issue of... that something that's a you read a derech aliyah that is you're chayav for you go into galus. However, there seemed to okay. And Rav Avo had troubles with that. He had a little trouble with that. So now the Gemara is going to suggest that the question Rav Avo asked regarding the ladder falling down, and he wanted to say we had a proof from the Mishnah that you do not go into galus. He originally thought that that's considered going up, mm-hmm. right? And then Rabbi Yochanan explained, no, otherwise the mission won't make sense. We're talking about acts and this and that. Rabbo thought maybe you do not go into galus, while Rabbi Yochanan ruled that it does. Gemara now suggests that maybe this discussion between Rabbi Bo and Rabbi Yochanan really lema kitanoi, maybe there is really a Tanaic argument about this idea with the ladder and when you hit the rung down, because it seems to be two conflicting brises on this issue. Earlier generations, one brise says hoya besulam, guys climbing up a ladder of and a rung dislodges, falls on and kills somebody. Well, tani chada, there's one brisa that said chayef, the fellow goes into exile. Vetanya Edach, there's another brisa that says Potter, he does not go into exile. We already have two brises arguing this point. So this question that Rabbi Bo asked Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Bo is thinking that you don't go into exile, Rabbi Yochanan clearly says you do go into exile, maybe they really are arguing something that was already argued earlier in the level of the brisa. My love, would we not suggest, behalkam ifligi, that this is what they're arguing about, the two brisas. One brisa says you're going up a ladder, the thing dislodges, it kills somebody, you go into exile. One brisa says the same thing, and you don't go into exile. It's a machlokas. What that is, going down for the purpose of going up, is it considered going up, or is it considered going down? It would seem that that's the machlokas, and that was the discussion Rabbi Bo had with Rabbi Yochanan. So whenever the Gemara asks that, like it's either saying like, so what's, you know, what are the Amoraim dealing with over here, or is there nothing new to be discussed over here? And would appear to be that in the Brisa level, in the Tanoic level, Demar Sover Yerida he, one considers that when you're going down for upward, it's considered downward and you go in exile. Umar Savar Aliyah. One says, even though your foot's going down, but you want to go up, it's cleared up, and you don't go into exile. So, we already have a machlokes tanoim in the brisa level about this. Mm-hmm. So, Rabbi Yochanan is coming and giving an answer. Maybe his answer only fits according to one of the tanoim and not according to all of the tanoim. Rabbo asks the question, says, well, we got a machlokes tanoim. That's what it might appear like, no? Yeah. Gemara says, no. There's no way. There's other ways to resolve the brises that are conflicting without saying that they're debating whether putting your foot down is considered going up or going down. It could be, maybe, dekuli alma aliyahi. Maybe everyone could agree that it's an upward motion for which there is no exile. Could be the tanaim of both brises maintained that determine the direction of the person as opposed to the direction of the rung. Therefore, since the person is moving up, any death that results from his action does not subject him to exile. Okay? The Gemara reconciles the brisa's only current the view which classifies the motion as the upward one. According to Rabbi Yochanan, however, it's certainly deemed a downward movement, as we'll see in a minute, Rebbe is therefore compelled to accept that the matter is indeed the subject of the dispute of Tanaim. In other words, Rebbe Yochanan, we're going to see in a minute, there's really no way around it to say that everybody holds it's a downward motion. It looks like one says it's downward, one says upward.
Rabbi Yochanan said yes, it was a downward.
Okay, Rabbi Yochanan said so, yes, he said so, but he's going to have to agree that there's a machlokas Tanoim about this. That's all we're saying. He's going to have to...
Tanoim both agreed, they didn't.
Hold on. Okay, let's not confuse Tanoim and Amoraim over here. Okay. Rabbi Bo and Rabbi Yochanan are Amoraim.
Right.
They're having a discussion. Rabbi Yochanan wanted to prove from our Mishnah that it's considered a downward motion.
Right.
It's a downward motion, and now we're bringing two brises that are conflicting. So it's a machlokes.
Okay.
It's a machlokes. So we want to say that is this not the same machlokes or Rabbi Yochanan the same as the two tanoim? Which Gemara is going to say you don't have to say that. Now Rabbi Yochanan is going to have to say that. He's going to have to say that. Because otherwise he has no Tana on his side at all.
That's right.
But we want to say it's possible that both Amoraim hold it's considered an upward motion. It's possible. Why? Because you have to know what the cases are speaking about. Maybe there's many ways to resolve these two brises. We want to say, let's say simple. It's an argument. One holds it's going up, one holds it's going down. That would be the simple way to understand it. But the brises are very cryptic. Are very cryptic. All the words of the brises said is chayiv and putter.
Mm-hmm.
Obliged and not obliged.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that doesn't... Obliged in what? So, you know, what do you mean? You're going into exile, not going into exile. Not so fast. You could just as easily interpret the two brises as talking about two different things. Velo kasha, and it doesn't have to say there's a conflict between the two brises. It could be they both hold it's an upward motion, and therefore, the one brisa that says that you're guilty isn't talking about death. It's talking about lenasi, it's talking about damages. What if you're climbing up a ladder, and the thing dislodges, falls on another person, and it injures the person, and he has doctor bills? Or what if it falls down and breaks his Maserati, and you have to pay him for his Maserati? Even if you're going to consider it an upward motion, do you have to pay or not? And tell me why.
Yeah, you caused it.
So you caused damage.
But it was an upward motion. What's the answer? Adam muad la'olam. A person's always responsible for any damages he makes, even if they're accidental. You're always responsible. You're driving your car, whatever, and the brakes didn't work, and you bang into somebody, you gotta pay. What do you mean? It doesn't matter. You're responsible. Person always has to. When it comes to financial issues, right? You've got to pay.
We're talking about exile here.
Who said exile? That's what I said. The brisa just said chayiv. It didn't say what you're chayiv for. That's what we're saying. The brisa says, quote, a guy's going up a ladder, he knocks a rung down, he's chayiv.
Okay.
So what is he chayiv for?
So what's he going to do, pay damages?
Yeah. Well, maybe that price is talking about damages. Who's talking about going in there? Just says chayiv.
That's the context we're talking about.
Well,
that's what we're...
Here's a price in your hopits. In the middle of Maseches, your hopits. Okay? We're talking in this page on Makas Zayin Rabbeis about exile. Who says that price is talking about exile?
Okay.
That's all. It's a crypt. If it would have said chayiv golus, okay, but it just says chayiv. Well, you think that the only issue that could ever happen in any case of jurisprudence of a guy climbing a ladder and the thing dislodges is only if it kills somebody? That's the only possible sin that ever could happen when the thing goes down? Could it ever be possible that it damages something instead of killing someone?
Well, the reason we brought it in is because it's about exile.
Who said?
We did. We brought it in for that.
No.
Now we decide no.
No, we're bringing another Brises. Brought in a different Brisa. We just brought a Brisa. And we thought that's the only thing it's talking about. We're saying that's not the only thing it's talking about. Maybe it's talking about damages. Damages you're chayiv, and kan legalis. And the one that says your potter means your potter from Gaulis. So it could be both Bryce's hold is like going up. The one that says chayv is talking about damages. That's one way of looking at it. Or, no, oppa, keeps jumping around. The boy, Sammy, if you want, maybe make Sammy happy. Hava, hala, Gaulis. Maybe they're both talking about Gaulis. But there's different situations with the rung. There's not all rungs are created equal. Hello, Kash, is no question. The Aslia, the Brisa, which imposes exile, refers to a rung that was worm-eaten, so therefore sagged before it was dislodged, qualifying the motion as downward. It's worm-eaten, so when you put your foot down, it just goes straight down, right? Aha, the one that says you don't go into exile is the lo asla, where it's not worm-eaten and it does not sag. According to this, according to this explanation as well, both Bryces classify the motion under discussion as an upward one, for which there is no exile in general. But the Bryce which rules that he is exiled refers to a rung that was rotten. In such a case, the rung begins to move downward as soon as the climber puts a foot on it, and even before he boosts himself up. At this point, there's only a single motion. He's pressing the rung downward. Therefore, the rung gives way. At this point, the accident results from a purely downward motion as opposed to the combination of upward and downward movements. Although even this downward motion is for the purpose of an upward one, which is the ascent of the climber, all agree that he is subject to exile since the movement itself is purely downward. In the case of a solid rung, though, there's no sag in the rung until the climber brings the full weight of his body to bear on it. At this point, two movements are taking place. The rung is pressing down while the climber boosts himself up. If the rung breaks at this point, the accident is viewed as resulting from an upward motion from which there is no exile. Ah, you see the difference over there. It follows that, according to this explanation as well, both prices conflict with Rabbi Yochanan's ruling that ascending a ladder is a downward motion for the purpose of upward motion, where exile does apply. Okay, so that's one way. I'm not going to the alternative shot. So they say,
does it matter who owns the ladder?
Nope.
We just said before the damages, because if you own the car and the brakes fail, you're responsible. So that because you own the car. In this case, who owns the ladder? Why should I be responsible?
Doesn't matter. You climbed it. Should have checked it out. You just don't climb a ladder. You do safety inspections. That's all. That's all. You killed him by accident. You climbed the ladder. You should have checked it out. Okay. Or we could give another interpretation. V-boy Sema. Or if you want, we could say, ha-va-ha, Delois. You could say both. They weren't worm-eaten. And yet, it's considered you don't go into exile. Velo kasha, there's no contradiction. Ha de mahadik, the one that exempts him from exile is talking what was securely attached. Securely attached. Vaha de lo miyadak, and the other one where it was not securely attached. A securely attached rung completely fills the holes in the ladder into which it is inserted. Held firmly in this matter, it does not move downward until the climber puts his full weight on it. And therefore, it's a upward motion. You don't go into Gaulis. But a rung that is not securely attached slips down slightly as soon as he puts one foot on it. This is essentially the same explanation as the previous one, with just the circumstances being different, the two approaches, etc. So that would be considered a downward motion. Either way, any interpretation learns all those prices is considering an upward motion. We're just explaining why the case is chayiv. Either it's talking about monetary cases, or there's something very bad with the rung, so it's just a downward motion and not a regular. The machlokas, Rabban Reb Yochanan, was with a good ladder. It was a good ladder. So as he's pushing off to go up, as he's going up, that's going down. In the two other worm-eaten cases or whatever, there's no up at all. It's just straight down. Okay, that he'd agree. That's a downward motion. But their case where it was a good ladder, that was their machlokas. So it comes out, we have two brises that are considering it an upward motion. You have Rabbi Yochanan who considers it a downward motion, and you're chayiv for it. And that's how he explains our Mishnah to fit along that way. So Rabbi Yochanan will clearly have to say it's a machlokes tanoim, and Rav Avo can say maybe not. Maybe all the brises seem to suggest that it's considered an upward motion. How's he going to resolve the Mishnah, the conflicting, that would be another issue, and that would be a problem. So that's...
Now it's unresolved.
So it's a machlokes, yeah. On the Tanoic level, but we rule that it is considered a downward motion that you go into exile, based on one of the... We rule from that.
Downward
okay,
motion,
and the guy is considered like a downward motion, and he goes into exile. That's how we rule.
Yeah.
Okay, end of the sugya, end of this gemara. Now hold on to your seats. We get to a very interesting mishnah coming up now, and we're going to be exposed to a whole new understanding of how to look at certain psukim in the Torah and certain rules over here, and we definitely need the psukim first.
Maybe this author that I'm struggling with, this whole upward downward. Like, I thought a person goes into exile if he kills somebody, it's totally inadvertent.
It's an accident. Remember, we said there's ones, accident, you don't go into exile. There's mazid, mamish intentional, you don't go into exile because you're worse than that. Close to mazid, you don't go into exile. Shogeg is that nice balance in between where there is some degree of negligence, but not so excessive that it's almost amazing.
All right, so we're in that category. So say you have a ladder, you didn't inspect it.
Negligence.
But what are you going up or down? Why is that so relevant? Because if you didn't expect
so
it,
we already discussed in the Mishnah that going up, it's very unlikely you're ever going to fall, and that is an accident. That's we already learned that.
No, but to me, if you didn't inspect it, you didn't do your due diligence, you're negligent, whether you're going up or down...
Well, the Torah tells us it's got to be a downward motion. It's got to be a downward motion. If it's not a downward motion, you don't go into exile. So the question is, what's considered a downward motion? Whenever you're going down, that, I understand your question. That's the whole debate over here. That's why this is a debate. He's planning on going up, but he's actually going down.
I get the debate.
That's what the debate is.
You're saying whether it's logical, whether it matters, right, whether it's up or down.
Yeah, exactly.
The rabbi's saying, yeah, well, the Torah says so. It is the direction.
We're interpreting it that way.
So Torah says whatever's a downward action, you go into exile. So now we have to discuss what is considered a downward motion. You know, if you've got a bad ladder, you know, it's definitely bordering on a downward motion. Downward motion. So the question is, to what degree do you have to check things out? Right? And what's considered a downward motion? That's the debate. No, it's vehi peel. It says vehi peel, and he caused to go down. The Torah says vehi peel. So now the question is, what's considered a down?
Why God would say it's only if you're going down versus...
Well, that we already...
Negligent.
Well, we went through them. Maybe you weren't there the day. We went through the Rambam. The Rambam clearly talks about the difference between going up and going down. It says going up, it's totally accident. No one would ever dream of falling down when you're going up. Going down, yeah, you really have to be careful.
People fall off ladders going up. It happens a lot.
People don't know. It's more happens going down than going up.
Yeah, more.
I think go to one of these workmen's compensation sites. I don't know. Yeah. It'd be an interesting thing to check out. When people fall off the ladders, when they usually fall off, going up or going down? I mean, logic would say going down. You got gravity pushing you down.
Yeah.
And
you don't have a good sight also of where you're...
Let's say it only happens 15% of the time, but it still happens.
So one is more of an accident. One is more of an accident, and one is less of an accident.
Yeah.
I mean, I know myself, when I'm going down, I'm much more careful.
Yeah.
I know when I'm going up, I just go up. I just, my foot goes and goes and goes. When I'm going down, I make sure my bottom foot is touching, and I make sure that the bottom. I go way slower going down because I know I can fall. That's personally how I view it. When I go up, no problem. You just go up. When you go on a hike, you're hiking up 1 foot after, boom, boom. Going down, it's 10 times scarier. 10 times scarier. I go way slower. I can go up. I can go up when I'm climbing a mountain on a hike. I go up much faster than going down. Okay. Anyway, let's move on. We're going to start this next piece. We're not going to finish this. We're going to probably somewhere in the middle, and we'll have to start reviewing it tomorrow. But this is very important to get this pasuk clearly. It says, Vasher yavo es reyehu bayar, if one comes with his fellow into the forest, lach tov etzim, to chop trees. Okay? Now, v'nidcha yado bagarzen lichros ha'etz, and his hand swings the axe to cut the tree. Okay? See what's happening? V'nidcha, he's swinging the axe to cut the tree. Now, here's the critical word. This next word is the one you got to really focus on. I can't highlight it. The way we read it, v'noshal habarzel min ha'etz. Okay, so we're going to read it one way, but there could be another way. Just because I read it one way the first time, don't keep in your mind that that's the only way you could read it. You know what happens? When you hear it the first time, you can't hear it differently the second time. So I'm telling you in advance, although I'm telling you one way now, be open enough to hear it another way a little bit later. Don't say, but the pasuk said that. Well, I'm just telling you now. I'm reading it by reading it one way. I could read it another way, but I'm choosing to read it only one way.
Got it.
I already know what's going to be asked in about 5 minutes. Okay? So the way it's supposed to be read is v'noshal habarzel min ha'etz, and the iron slips off of the wood. Okay? Would seem what's the case. Let's say when you're swinging, the iron flies off the handle. Okay? That's one way of... I'm telling you now, there's going to be another way to read these four words. Totally different. Min ha'etz u'matza es re'ehu, and that metal hits his friend, v'meis, and he dies. Hu yanu salach zeremem v'chay. Now he goes to exile. So that way would mean that... So what was the issue here? Is that the metal flew off the handle... And that, the guy goes into exile because that's a degree of negligence within that, and you should go to exile. According to this interpretation, now here's a nun shin lamed. That's the root. The root means slip. Is an intransitive verb. Okay, meaning referring to the iron axe head itself. V'noshal. It slipped. Look at the two words again. V'noshal habarzel. The barzel, the metal, slips off, which means slips off. The word eitz, therefore, what does the word eitz mean? It said, v'noshal barzel min eitz, means the axe's wooden handle. Okay. What is these numbers over here? 50, 51. Or, now we're going to give you a second way of reading it now. Or, it means, look at the top here, the iron axe head dislodges a chip of wood from the tree. There's two eights here. There's the eights, the wood of the handle. There's the eights of the tree. Now, according to this, nun shin lamed is a transitive verb, referring to the effect of the axe on the tree. And it means causes to slip off. The metal causes the wood to dislodge. Eight denotes the tree that's being chopped. Right. See, that's two different ways of reading the pasuk now. So again, first way, v'nashal habarzel eitz, the metal itself is dislodged from the wood of the handle, or v'nashal habarzel, or the metal causes dislodgement, mina eitz, from the tree, meaning a chip that comes from the tree. So now that's a big argument. What's the case of going into Gullus? Is it when the handle flies off going into Gullus? Or when the chip goes flying off, you go into Gullus? There's only one understanding of the pasuk. You see how you could look at it two ways? And therefore, if it's one way, it ain't the other way. So in other words, if it means that the handle went flying off, then you go into Gullus.
The head, not the handle.
The head.
The head. Thank you. The head goes off. If that's what the pasuk says, that's when you go into gullus.
Yeah.
And therefore, if a chip goes flying, you don't go into gullus because that's not what the pasuk said. Right. If you're learning the pasuk means the chip goes flying off, that's when you go into gullus. But if the head from the handle such, you don't go into gullus. Why, we could discuss. Maybe one you could say is a pure accident, or maybe one is more intentional than that. But anyway, you can begin to see the basis of an argument.
So the problem is the translation or the way it's worded?
That's the Gemara is going to discuss where the problem lies. Yeah. That we yet have to see, and that's going to make it very complicated. Okay? But that's the simple reading of the psukim. There's two ways to understand the psukim. Based on those two ways to understand the psukim, now you're going to understand the machlokes of Rebbe and the Chachamim in our Mishnah. So again, Nishmat HaBarzel Mikito V'Horek. So now we're going to the case that the Mishnah is now. So we're not talking about psukim now. We're talking about the case in the Mishnah. Here it's clear. The Mishnah is telling us clear what the case in the Mishnah is. Not the pasuk, the Mishnah. If the iron blade slips off the handle and kills, so Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, Eina Gola, does not go into exile, because he says that's not what the pasuk said. Okay? Vechachamim Omer, let me just go back again. Rebbe maintains this is not the case of the verse, where the perpetrator is sentenced to exile. Rather, in his opinion, one is exempt from exile in this circumstance because it's considered gross negligence. He holds it's Korvel Mazid. If the handle's flying off, since it likely would not have happened unless the axe head had been loose to begin with, the wood chopper should have checked his axe before using it.
Absolutely.
Usually an axe head doesn't go flying off. Right? Doesn't go flying off. Why is it flying off? Well, it was loose. Well, don't start chopping before check. You got a weapon in your hand, man. That's a weapon, an axe. So check it out. You let it fly off. According to him, that is gross negligence.
You feel it right away.
Right? So according to him, when it flies, that's not what the pusik's talking about. A piece of wood chips off. That's not gross negligence. That's not an accident. That's a shogeg. But that's what the pusik's talking about. A wood chip flying off. The handle flying off. That's not what the pusik's talking about. He won't go into gullus. Why? Because he's too negligent. More mazy. It's not going to give him kapara for that. That's what he holds. What about a branch? I don't know, bro. We're talking about wood chips right now. So I don't know. A branch usually doesn't go flying off. A wood chip does. A wood chip is more likely. It's a more common case of flying off. You chop the thing, a piece can go flying from that.
Unless he's standing on the tree and the branch falls.
Okay, let's just do what we got over here. Okay, but on the other hand, Chachamim Omrim Golan. Chachamim say, no, that is the case of the Pasuk. The rabbis say you go into exile, hence the sense of exile mentioned in the verse applies in this situation. In their view, the Chumash of the Torah is not considered a case of gross negligence, because even if he had checked the axe, it could still have broken apart even afterward. An axe head often seems to be fastened securely, when in fact it's not. In other words, you could check it looks okay, but it needs one more, and then you're chopping. Listen, are you supposed to check the axe head between every chop?
No.
Okay, I check it. It's good. Now, I do chop. I do 20 chops. So by chop 17, it got dislodged. Now, you don't have to check it every. You never chop anything. And then, boom, it flew off. So this dispute between Rebbe and Rabbis is not limited to the particular situation. They rule likewise in similar cases where it uses equipment that breaks and causes a fatality. What about a trucker? And one of the wheels goes flying off and kills somebody. Yeah. Could be the same machlokas. You say, well, why did you check the tires? Because I did check the tires, but it was a 500-mile trip, and then something happened. Same idea. Because the point of the matter is, we have no way of knowing. We have no way of knowing. We could ask the guy, did you check, and did you not check? Even if he says, I didn't check, we can't assume it was loose. So that becomes the machlokas. These machlokas are very dicey cases over here. All right, so now if you know one law, now we got to look at the other law. The converse is going to be the same. So, Chachamim Omrim, Goyle, they says you go in exile. Next case, Not nishmat habarzel mikito. Second case is what about mino eitz hamispakeya? What if it's from the tree that was being chopped, that the blow of the axe moved the chip and that killed somebody? Okay, what's halacha there? Well, now they're going to reverse their positions because either this is what the pasuk says or it's not what the pasuk says. So Rebbe is saying that is what the pasuk was exactly. According to Rebbe, that is the pasuk saying. Rebbe Omer, you go to exile, because he says that's the case of the Mishnah, and that's a case of Shogeg. Chachamim says that's not the case of the pasuk. You don't go into exile, and he considered it a complete accident. So, so you hear what's going on. So, according to Rebbe, the case is of the pasuk, the wood chip flying. That's a shogeg, and it's not the case of the axe handle flying off, because that would be korov lamezi. Does go in exile. The rabbis say the axe handle flying off is the shogeg, and that's the shogeg. And because what do you mean? It could have just dislodged while he was chopping. The case of the wood chip flying off is not the case of the Mishnah. You don't go into exile because that is considered closer to an accident. Now, what forces them to learn what the case of the pasuk is? Is a big machlokas we're going to learn tomorrow, and it's good we're going to start with that because it's a very complicated concept, and we'll start with that idea. Yes.
Yeah.
A wood chip can kill somebody.
But isn't the fault of the person that's dying too close?
It's more likely that if someone's going to get killed, it's going to be more from the
axe. I don't know, because we can reverse that. How often do wood chips fly, and how often do axe heads fly? I understand. What I'm trying to say is like this. Let's say for every one handle flying off, you have 1,000 wood chips flying off.
Wood chips always
right?
fly off.
So now, between 1,000 wood chips, one will kill somebody.
Yeah, but it's a fault of the person.
Do you hear what's going on?
I could say between 1,000
and you can get a big wood chip, it gets right in the guy's eye, you know. It could be like a bullet. It could pierce through it. It could be a sharp wood chip right through the heart. It will act like an arrow. It could.
So
okay.